T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome on in, everybody. Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Happy Sunday to everybody. Welcome on in. Big night last night in the city. Obviously, we had Canelo Alvarez. We had a big-time boxing event. The whole boxing world had their eyes on the city of Miami. So it was really, really cool. Very fun experience. So I really enjoyed it, getting a chance to see the city showcased like that on a big stage. It's been a while. Since we've had any kind of big national event like that. I mean, we've been hosting a bunch of events, but no fans have been allowed in. And it was good to see Miami get to be on the world stage like that, hosting the biggest guy in the sport. And it was a lot of fun. I thought especially, you know, a lot of the times when you go to a boxing event, it's not like going to mixed martial arts events where the whole experience, especially going to the UFC, is like, you know, experiencing being there, the card top to bottom, the stories of everybody. A lot of the times you go to a big time boxing event and the show and the story and everything is geared towards just that one fight. And a lot of the times, if you get what you want to see in that main event, you go home happy. And so I looked at this card and we had to get there very early to kind of give everybody the rub. But I finally got to see Leroy Horde, my morning co-host, who, of course, you guys can hear me on 7-9 Ticket with every single day from 6 to 10 a.m. And we have not seen each other in the flesh in over, well, not quite over a year, just about a year. Because this is the week of Dwayne Wade's jersey going up. And then I know Dwayne Wade Boulevard became official. And then I know the mayor was in. I think like a week after that, everything was shut down. So sometime in March. So we're getting close to it. And we just haven't seen each other. We see each other basically every day. We talk every day via text. We see each other every day, 4 hours a day doing our radio show. But we have not been in the flesh next to each other in a studio in nearly a year. And it was really cool seeing each other. And we got a lot of time with one another today because, you know, we get the process of how strictly they were taking this event. And it's quite frankly, it's stricter than any other sporting event I've been to. And my experience with that right now is, you know, kind of been on the local scene. I've gone to some, you know, Titan FC shows. I've had to be tested the week of. I've been to many Heat games, especially with the COVID, the infamous COVID dogs, who do a great job. Got sniffed a couple of days ago, so I felt confident in my lack of Rona-ness going into this one. And then with the Marlins, they kind of just check your temperature, give you a questionnaire, and I've gone to see scrimmages. I haven't gone to watch games. I did go see spring training. But this was the most intense because we literally, you go there, you have to take a COVID rapid test to enter their fight night bubble. And I wanted to be in like a lot of the things this week. I wanted to go to the weigh-ins, the press conferences, you know, the whole shebang. We have Canelo in town, but you had to actually be in their bubble if you wanted to do that. So I would have had to stay at the Hard Rock and, you know, I just couldn't bring myself to say, hey, I'm going to be locked away from my family for the entire week just to cover one boxing match. It, you know, it just wasn't in the cards for me because ultimately I do just want to go to the fight more than anything. And so that's, you know, it just ended up being like that. I was just like, all right, just made a decision. Now I probably would have gotten better seats, better access and all that type of stuff. but I was still happy with it. I just wanted to be in the building. I wanted to see the atmosphere and be there to experience it live. And that's what it was tonight. You know, it was an awesome scene, you know, great national anthems, especially Gloria Estefan's kid doing the American national anthem. I thought the crowd was on fire. People were digging seeing Canelo. It was tough to get a good look because I was basically in the Dolphins press box. So all spotlight was on the ring, and everything else was pretty much blacked out. So it wasn't, except for like the stage to see people perform. So it wasn't great to get a gauge on how big the crowd was, but I could hear cheers were big. They weren't pumping in crowd noise. Canelo chants were going wild. People loved Jay Balvin performing, bringing him out. I thought that was the coolest part because people went nuts for him. He did one song, then he starts another song. We're like, oh man, what do we got? Jay Balvin coming out? No, Canelo's coming out and he's going to take him to the ring. And Canelo's smiling, he's showboating, he's getting ready to take on Alvin Yildirim and take care of business, which he did. And yeah, it was just a great show all in all. And I give Matchroom Boxing a lot of credit. I've told, you know, when we had Eddie Hearn, I told him, you know, how they do the shows, big pomp and circumstance, lots of pyrotechnics, all that type of stuff. It just, they did it big and it came across big. It was an awesome show. And I do think that like Miami, we all showed up for basically the Canelo fight, nothing else. And people seemed happy with that. You know, it was a great venue. The Dolphins and Garfinkel and Stephen Ross, the facility they put together is top notch. I hadn't been down to Hard Rock Stadium in a long time, believe it or not. You know, I passed it every day going to work. I passed it for 3 years. I really had never been in there for anything. Because I haven't gone to any Dolphins games. I haven't gone to any Canes games. You know, most of my live stuff has been Panthers, Marlins, Heat. Just because I know, like, because usually all my basketball experiences, I go cover the team, usually. Hockey, I'm bringing my kids. Marlins, flip a coin. My kids will go Marlins and Panthers right now. Football, I think, is a lot of people know, like taking young kids. It's a little bit of a next level because football crowds are a little bit more hostile. It's a little bit more of a grown-up event, so I'm just not quite there taking my kids yet to it. Probably could take my daughter. Don't know about my son, but I haven't been there. But the point of it being, I haven't been to Hard Rock in a while, and it was awesome. What they've done to that building is unbelievable. It looks great, and it just. The show is amazing. The show is amazing because that's what it felt like. You know, Canelo Alvarez getting to the match of it, Aldo Yildirim, like, you know, I barely mentioned his name this week, and it's not to be disrespectful to the Turkish Wolf, but anybody who follows boxing knows what this was. Canelo was actually doing a solid by Aldo Yildirim, taking on his mandatory for I believe it was his WBC belt, and giving him this opportunity that, you know, the sanctioning body says he deserves for some reason, and took care of business. You know, he had himself a fun event and he's staying very active. You know, I saw some criticism of the competition. I saw Teddy Atlas. I saw others on social media saying, you know, what is this competition that can, yeah, it wasn't the best competition. It wasn't. I mean, it was a huge landslide in odds. But the caveat of it being is we found out afterwards, hey, Canelo Alvarez is going to be fighting in about 2 months, 3 months' time yet again. He's going to be taking on an undefeated Billy Joe Saunders for another piece of the super middleweight crown. So that's why I don't really get on Canelo too much for it. Like, he is staying active. He was basically doing a showcase, and he is a fun boxer to watch. I mean, that's another thing with Canelo is that he has a really fun style. He's hit this gear over the last 3 years offensively, where he just deals out such vicious punishment. He doesn't look shaken at all about whatever's getting fired back at him, and he's just become just a really fun fighter to just go see. And so yeah, it was It was three rounds of obliteration. First round, really breaking him down to the body. Second round, really breaking through. Third round, put him on the canvas, and he didn't want no more. And you probably for the best. He probably shouldn't have gone out there because he wasn't giving Canelo anything back. He's pound for pound, one of the most intimidating punchers in the game right now. So, I mean, you know, people who want to get on Canelo's for competition. The other things that are stupid about it, though, is like, you know, you have like SportsCenter come out and be like, Canelo versus Floyd Mayweather. What if it was today? And it's like, well, beating Alvin Yildirim today, yesterday, 10 years ago, none of that has anything to do with if you were to fight Floyd for today. If you were to fight Floyd for today, when? Like, if he was to fight Floyd at super middleweight? Because that's what he is. Like, he's not down at 150-something pounds anymore. He's, you know, 168 on fight night, on the night before on the scales, and then who knows what he is on fight night. So, like, what it's, I see things like that. I'm like, well, what are we even talking about here? You know, one, it's like you're discrediting Floyd Mayweather, first of all, because you're saying, like, oh, well, let's do the fight now. Floyd's not as good a fighter as he was a couple of years ago, and he's also three weight classes away from where Canelo is right now. So it seems weird. The other thing is, like, look. Yeah, the other thing you want to say is, like, forget about the debate about who could he be Floyd Mayweather. I was actually looking back on it with his resume with Leroy today, because, you know, Leroy brought that up. He's like, well, what do you think if he took on Floyd now? He's like, I wish we could see that. And, you know, you just look back at that era that he had, and you think of the Austin Trout fight, the Mayweather fight, the Arizlandy Lara fight. We're all kind of in that, you know, 2-year window when he was in his early 20s. And a lot of those guys weren't easy fights for him. And some people think that he lost some of those fights. And Canelo's not, you know, though Floyd's the only one who's dished out a loss on his resume, he's also had a very controversial draw to Gennady Golovkin. He has a controversial win over Arizlandy Lara. I don't really look at Canelo Alvarez as the art of perfection. I do look at him as this art of entertaining. He is he's a showman. He's a fun fighter. And, you know, I do think that he deserves the crown right now of number one pound for pound. I do think that he does deserve that. I don't think that Alvin Yildirim moves the needle one way or another. But, you know, being a champion in four weight classes, being looked upon as the top 168 fighter and looking to go beat an undefeated Billy Joe Saunders. He's going to probably fight an undefeated Caleb Plant later on in the year. Those are two really tough opponents. Maybe by next year we can get the Charlos involved in that or something. Or Demetrius Andrade or whomever. Maybe one of these 160ers want to go step up, or maybe he wants to go back down. Who knows? But he is a guy that does take on a lot of challenges, that is trying to make some fun stuff happen. And you love that about him. You know, he I think has been the great thing about Canelo Alvarez. As far as, like, you know, would you want to see a Gennady Golovkin fight again? Maybe. You know, I think one of those things is they both hate each other like poison. And I don't know how much of that animosity comes through. I think, you know, one of the things that, I don't want to say hurts Canelo Alvarez, but he still isn't, you know, he still isn't a complete guy who's, you know, ready to go out there and do interviews in English. Gennady Golovkin also not too keen on doing that as well. So it's tough to get all of that stuff brewing to the center to where it maybe makes it the next blockbuster. I think with the Billy Joe Saunders fight, Billy Joe Saunders is the ultimate bad guy. Like, he is an antagonist. He's a guy that people love to hate. He will definitely go out there and try and make Canelo miss, make him look foolish, all that type of stuff to expose Canelo's boxing, if you can, which I do think that Canelo is a really, really good boxer. But I think Billy Joe Saunders is going to try and make him look foolish and try and be elusive and try and make him move, pot shot him, all that type of stuff to try and outpoint him and take his belt. So I think that's almost, I think this upcoming matchup is going to be put Canelo in a position to be a little bit more of the hero that that people will root for, you know. But I think that what we're seeing is a guy who is getting better, and has been getting a lot better since he's been a famous fighter for a very long time, and has beaten some good guys. Yeah, there's some weird exhibitions along the way, the Julio Cesar Chavez Juniors, the Rocky Fieldings. It's not like the toughest resume in the world at all times, and his toughest fights have been tough fights. You know, like, I think that's one of the things that you probably could look back on his resume and say, okay, he took on Gennady Golovkin twice, maybe one time he lost. But it was a really competitive fight, and that's what, like, I don't know why that would why people would look upon that and think that is a bad thing. I think it's great that a guy was willing to go risk it and fight a guy like Aries Landy Lara. Nobody wanted him to take that fight. Took the fight. Maybe some people think that he lost, but he took the fight. It was tough. And what? You know, it's like, so these are the things that you can either be a fickle fan about it and, you know, take credit away all you want to, or you can be like, you know what? Those fights were really, really fun. And they were really competitive. And that's kind of what we've always wanted from our fighters anyway, is it not? So great show from Canelo Alvarez. Shout out to Miami. Did a great job being a host city last night, I thought. And I really, really, really enjoyed the show. So shout out to Matchroom Boxing for that. Really, really enjoyable from that standpoint. Hopefully we get more fights, man. I hope that this is a jumping off point for Miami to get some more action and to get the ability to get more big showcases down here. Cause look, we are more open than a lot of other places right now. So come on down. We'll be back after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Towen's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. We roll on. So yeah, fun night last night at the Hard Rock, Hard Rock Stadium. Shout out, by the way, to Aaron Aponte, Haile Azone, the Alien King. He got himself a second win, decision win, over Harold Gigliotti, the Hitman. Looked straight out of an extra out of The Fighter. And Aaron Aponte getting his second win. So good on the 19-year-old from Hialeah, Florida, Keyshawn Davis. Everybody was very excited about his debut. He made easy work of Lester Brown. Not much wrong there. I got a little bit of the goosies yesterday watching John Moraga, former UFC flyweight championship contender, taking on Mark Castro. John Moraga did not have anything for him, though. John Moraga's boxing career is off to a little bit of a hard start, you could say, because he got dealt with in this one by Mark Castro. Really wasn't a competitive matchup. You had Diego Pacheco taking on Rodolfo Gomez Jr. Probably would say that was the most boring fight of the night. And the craziest fight of the night was Zhele Zhang against Jerry Slugger Forrest. That was the craziest fight of the night because Zhang, you know, they were pumping it up hard. They're like, oh, you know, they want to do the showcase between Anthony Joshua and Zhang in Beijing in 2 years. Zhang's 6'6". He's a powerful guy. And, you know, they fought in the Olympics. So they were talking this Zhele Zhang up a lot. And he looked like an absolute monster the first 3 rounds of this fight. I mean, he really, really did. He put Jerry Forrest down the first 3 rounds, right on the canvas, big shots. Jerry Forrest wasn't helping in that regard as he was running into a couple of them as well. But man, I mean, that the fourth round goes by and Zhang just runs. I don't know if he was just wilted mentally because Forrest just wasn't going away, or what it was, but he was worn out. And Forrest just kept pressing forward, was able to throw more punches. Didn't, you know, look like he could have put him out there in the ninth round. Really put it away. If he was had him in the right angle, Zhang may have fell over. Zhang was just holding and holding. They took a point away from him because he was leaning on the guy's head at one point. And so It ended up being a majority draw, which was pretty crazy. The one guy actually had it for Forrest, and two of them had it 93-93. So, I mean, that's got to be, I don't know what the records are on that, but a guy who gets knocked down three times, because they didn't have great sound. It was a little bit weird. The one complaint I guess I could have, because I don't want to be too much of a baby about it, because we did get to go see a great boxing show and, didn't have to pay a dime for it. But it was weird watching it from the Dolphins press box in that, one, it was a little bit of a tough viewing with the lights all off, so there was a bit of a weird glare. Two, it was a tough angle because we had the pole like right in the middle, so sometimes you had to go in and out of the fight, so we'd go to the Jumbotron. But the weirdest thing to me was, because they have the windows sealed off now. I remember back in the day when I would cover Marlins games there, they would open up. You'd have that option. I guess they don't do that anymore when they've reconstructed it. But the weird thing was they just kept the volume like off for like four fights. And so like these fights were happening and literally like it was, I mean, as quiet as a library in there. And you just felt weird. You felt weird cheering, commenting. Like Leroy and I were like IG living just to goof at the listeners at one point. And I'm like, you know, people, but also they got mad at us one time because we weren't wearing our masks, which we thought was a little silly. If we're in a bubble, you know, a de facto bubble that they put us in, and we just got randomly tested, and I felt extra good about not having the Rona because I had gotten sniffed by a COVID dog 2 days before. So I felt good of my lack of Rona. So, you know, we partook in our media food. We had our chicken tender boxes. And, you know, maybe we're a little loosey-goosey with putting the mask back on. And apparently what they said with people at the venue were complaining. And so they're like, gentlemen, please put your masks back on. I'm like, oh, all right, sorry, man. But that wasn't even the thing. The mask thing didn't bother me. What was weird was just it was so quiet. They finally put on, like, the sounds, like they put on the PA system. So like we could hear in between rounds, they're basically playing mariachi music between each rounds. And then we could hear when the PA ring announcer would announce the winners and introduce them, but nothing else was happening in between. So we couldn't really hear the crowd really was kind of dead. That's, you know, fights at six in the evening and people aren't packed in there yet. So they finally got some of the DAZN play-by-play on, but it was on delay, so that was also not clean. That was about my only complaint about watching it live. Once all of it was erased by the Canelo performance, because the Canelo thing, it all felt big. The J Balvin thing was awesome. His performance was awesome. The anthems were awesome. All of the main event stuff kind of eradicated all the stuff that it took to get there, which is a lot of the times what it's like when you go to boxing. It really is. In the meanwhile, I was watching UFC. I did have my laptop up, so I did watch the Rozenstruik Cyril Gane fight. I did watch the card. Cyril Gane got the win over Jorginho Rozenstruik. He won 50-45 on all scorecards. Jorginho Rozenstruik was not able to land anything too big on him, which sucks for him because I like Jorginho. He trains down here. He's been on the show before, so I like the guy. I got a little soft spot in my heart too for Suriname, being a fan of Tyrone Spong, and I know that's like his broski. So I was rooting for my guy Jorginho to get the win here. Cyril Gane, though, you know, look, it's not a, I don't think it's a damaging loss to Jorginho. I think that he could bounce back from something like this. It was very similar to DC taking on Derek Lewis. You knew he's got one weapon. Let's take it away. Let's get the win, go home. I think with Cyril, though, one of the things that I guess you could point out as a criticism, not that it's a bad game plan, is just that, look, you know, you want to have performances that people remember and they want to see the next time around. And, you know, we were looking at this as like two heavy hitters, and Cyril Gane really wasn't playing that game. He's just like, I'm not going to lose this. I know what I'm better at here. I'm going to get my win. I'm going to improve to 8-0. You all can kiss my ass. And that's that. You know, so he gets himself a win over the number four guy. He'll probably move somewhere into the top five now. And we'll see what happens. You know, I saw John Jones made a comment about something like these guys, you know, be able to be ready for the pace when daddy comes home. And Francis Ngannou's like, daddy comes home? What the hell what does that mean? There was some footage of John Jones, heavyweight John Jones, that came out this week. And he looks big, man. Big. Oh, big. You know, Quinville would be a big fan. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the best card in the world as far. It was good to have something in between each bout, but it wasn't a great night. Basically all decisions other than one fight. Only Ronnie Lawrence versus Vince Cachero. Ronnie Lawrence got himself a TKO win. Beat the holy hell out of him. I was waiting for the ref. I was like, when's the ref going to stop this thing? He's clearly on his way. The rest of them were decisions. Some of them were good, like Jimmy Rivera, Pedro Munhoz. Great fight. A lot of fun. Alexis Harris versus Kevin Groom. Bruce Leroy looked awesome. He looked fluid. He looks, you know, it was funny. I was looking, and you think about his, age. He's going to be 33 this summer. He's got four straight wins now. I wouldn't exactly say they're over big names because he's never really been putting, you know, he's not putting big card spots all the time. But I was talking to Leroy about this, and I was like, man, I wonder if Bruce Leroy could put together almost a Jorge Masvidal-like, you know, like run. I mean, they're similar in that, you know, first of all, they both come from the Miami backyards. Alex isn't trained down here. He trains in Arizona. But, you know, you wonder if he can have this second renaissance. He looks much more comfortable with his striking in that, He's going to a little bit more. He's being the initiator. Now he's not having the renaissance George did in finishing guys. Like George was always a guy who was maybe getting the short end of decisions, but usually was outboxing everybody. So that a lot of times it was going one way or another based on whether he was getting the judge's nod that night. Alex is going about these and he's kind of dominating these decisions, but they're not like, you know, it's not like the Rockets being tied to Bruce Leroy's back on it or nothing like that. But it is, you know, they're about at the same age where they were. And I wonder if Bruce Leroy can get himself a big time contender in this division where he's been around forever, and if he can get himself into this this mix at 145. You know, four straight wins is nothing to sneeze at. And you would like to see a guy who's been in the division like that for a while get some kind of a rub there. So good for him. He improves to 18-12 in his mixed martial arts career. And the former Miami backyard brawler, I was happy to see him get a win. And Magomed Ankalaev get a win over Nikita Krylov, 29-28, okay fight, you know, nothing, you know, I don't think it was the most memorable card in the world by any means. I think that it was fine. I was watching it at an arena at a boxing match, but a lot of it I got to see because there were so many breaks in between fights. So, you know, it was good to get you from that regard. Like, it kind of kept the night moving and all that. But I do think, like, on any other night, if I wasn't in a quiet press box waiting for the next boxing match in front of me, I could see myself being lulled out of that fight quite easily or that night quite easily. So that's what we got. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of UFC 259, a triple title fight coming up next week. What do we got in the makings next week on pay-per-view? We'll get to that next. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning in. If you miss any part of this program, please go download the radio.com app and download the podcast. And of course, if you are a fan of this show and of my radio programs, check us out on Twitch, The Morning Show, Tobin and Leroy. We are now live on Twitch every single morning from 6 to 10 a.m. So you can now watch the Silly Sauce all 4 hours of it every single day from 6 to 10 a.m. You can interact with us live. You got the chat going on, Twitchers, Texters. It's a blood feud. You want to talk about absolute fisticuffs. It's a fisticuffs. It's word of cuffs is really what it is. It's just insults back and forth between texters and twitchers. And it's a lot of fun. So I recommend you guys interacting with it. It's been cool getting the guests on live on video, which we've been doing for a little bit. We've been taping guests like that, as you guys have seen with our digital content. But now it's cool getting them live. Like, we had Miguel Rojas on live last week. Michael McCullough from the Heat joined us live last week. So that's been cool. Love it much better than phone calls. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it. So check that on out, everybody. Let's get into this. So a couple of news and notes. Now, I want to talk about this. So Triller is this new promotion that has the funds that famously put on the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones card and had the Nate Robinson, Jake Paul fight where Nate Robinson got slept by Jake Paul. And they are really, they did a thing this week that makes you think they are trying to be the next heavy hitter in boxing. And it's an interesting development. Now, to kind of give you guys a look into this, we've been talking about this lightweight division with the four kings, if you will. I feel like I've been doing busy with the air quotes today. With Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney, Gervonta Davis, Ryan Garcia, who was prominently featured on the card last night on the commentary. But Teofimo Lopez, we've known this for a little bit. As you guys have heard, we've had George Kambosos on this show. He is the mandatory for the WBO championship. And so really put himself in a position to have a crack at Teofimo Lopez's titles. And to kind of give everybody the background of this, George Kambosos, he put himself as a mandatory for Teofimo's IBF title. And George is a big deal in Australia, but obviously is not in the big scope of all the other guys. But it happens when you have an undisputed champion like Teofimo is. Guys like to keep their belts. We saw this. This is why Canelo was fighting Aldo Yildirim in the middle of the year. And so George is at this point. He's hungry. He's still young, and is still in the kind of the midst of this thing. So what happened was his Top Rank basically has Teofimo Lopez under contract. They couldn't come to an agreement between them and George Kambosos, so the fight went to purse bid. Purse bid, other promotions can come on in, say, this is what I want to bid on that, this is what I want to do, and we have the rights to that fight. And so you had Top Rank, they came in, they bid something to the effect of Matchroom Boxing came in, they bid 3.5 to Top Rank's 2.3, and so Eddie Hearn was coming in. They were trying to swipe Teofimo Lopez. You would probably think, because you would hope that Teofimo Lopez gets the win over Kambosos, and then maybe can do some business to get Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia in the fold to fight for the undisputed championships. But with a last minute swipe in, Triller came in and offered them $6.018 million for the fight. And I think it went something like 70-30, I think, goes Kambosos' way. Both fighters making a ton of money. So shout out to them. Shout out to our guy Peter Kahn getting his boy paid. All that type of stuff. Sounds fantastic. Now the question is, where is this fight? When is this fight going to take place? We don't quite know that yet. Is this going to be on the Ben Askren versus Jake Paul card, which is coming up in April? Maybe. That had a wrinkle that came out this week where it was announced that Antonio Tarver, the Magic Man, friend of the program, is going to be taking on former UFC heavyweight champion Frank Mir, which I'm kind of into. Look, that's kind of Triller's lane. They're wacky. They do the Legends fights. They do the YouTube fights. They'll do a crossover fight. But now they're dipping their toes into the legitimate boxing world. They're going and getting the champion of the deepest, I don't want to say deepest, the the hottest division in boxing right now. Everybody's been talking about lightweight division. What is it going to happen with it? When are these guys going to fight each other? When's it going to be put together? And they basically just went, basically stole the clearest champion in the biz right now. So it's interesting. It's interesting because, one, you add another player into the game, which, first of all, that's good for the fighters. I'm glad the fighters are going to get some more money. That's always a good thing, especially for these big opportunities. So a guy like George Kambosos, you know, he goes from probably making $400,000, and now he's going to be making a seven-figure payday. That's awesome. You know, that's really great. A guy like Teofimo Lopez goes from making, you know, just over $1 million to now he's going to make millions of dollars. That's awesome. I don't know why anybody has a problem who's not Bob Arum. I don't know why anybody would have, why any fan would have a problem with that if the fight's going to happen anyway. So I guess the only difference would be is like maybe instead of ESPN, you're maybe going to have to pay for it on pay-per-view. But it's an interesting one. You know, the only thing I would say is concerning about this. The only thing I would say is a worry is that, you know, we're already at a point where fights are tough enough to make when it comes to politics, when it comes to, you know, guys' obligations. So now you add into the mix another network that's going to come in here and try and blow things up. You know, it's great that the fighters are getting money. Could it add another wrinkle into making the fights happen? We don't know. That's all that remains to be seen. But either way, it is a different beast. So that's an interesting thing to keep an eye out and see what the drama is and how that unfolds. All right, let's get into a little bit of UFC 259 coming up next week. We have UFC 259, a triple championship match. I mean, UFC is pumping out the cards, man, because it felt like it was funny because I sat down this week and I knew that we had the Canelo fight happening. And then I'm like looking at next week and I'm like, oh my God, there's a pay-per-view already? And if because we just felt like we just had Kamaru take on Gilbert Burns. So the pay-per-views are flying. They are coming quick. But it's a triple championship card. It is headlined by light heavyweight champion Jan Blachowicz defending against reigning middleweight champion Israel Adesanya, who is moving up in weight to try and capture his second belt. Then you, of course, have Amanda Nunes at featherweight. She is defending her belt against Megan Anderson. And the one I think I'm looking forward to the most is the bantamweight championship, Piotr Jan against Aljamain Sterling. First of all, I love Aljamain Sterling. I think he's a really, really fun fighter. Really has earned his way. You know, Aljamain Sterling, you know, took some tough losses, and to see him earn his way all the way back to the title shot has been really great. And charismatic as hell. He's kind of been on the scene for a long time as far as, like, you know, always willing to call guys out, always willing to do a thing. And now here at 31, which is like that, it is kind of that sweet spot that there's not a lot of guys who are perfecting this game super early. Like, you know, 31 is about the time you round into form on everything. And now he's in a spot where he's coming off a submission win over Corey Sandhagen, who everybody's darling right now. He's got a win over him. And he's going to take on Piotr Jan, who burst onto the scene as champion and actually has been training down here at American Top Team. He's been, moved on down here, but he's a wrecking machine, man. He's been a bit of the legend killer with his wins over Jose, with his wins over Uriah, intimidating little package, intimidating little Russian. And so that one is tough to call, man. That's a tough one to call. But there's something about it that makes me feel like, you know, we did see Piotr get touched up a little bit early on in the Jose Aldo fight. And so I do think there are opportunities, especially before things get slippery and wet, that Aljo could catch him into something. You know, it just looks like he's kind of poised for the moment. I think that Aljo is going to walk away bantamweight champion by the end of that night. Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson, like, it feels silly to ever pick against Amanda Nunes. Like, there's so few people who are in sports that are just undisputed goats. There are no debates. There are no nothing. And you know, her being the best woman fighter on the planet is of all time. Her being the best woman on the planet is an easy one. her being the best woman fighter of all, woman to fight of all time, not debatable. I mean, there's who could you possibly throw at me and say is holding a candle to her? And yeah, is legitimately good enough to be looked upon as one of the best pound for pound fighters on the planet. She's just that good. She's that dominant over her division. You know, she really should be considered what John Jones is, what Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson was, what George St. Pierre was. She's that kind of good. I don't really see a reason how I can pick Megan Anderson, who we've seen have an up and down, an up and down 10 years as an MMA fighter, but nobody, you know, nobody really just comes close to Amanda right now, man. Nobody does. And so you wonder if, like, you know, is she going to have her own motivations? Is she going to have that same spark, that same fire? I think so. I mean, I don't see any reason why that goes away. I mean, it probably is always going to be at that spot where it's like, well, how does it get higher than beating Chris Cyborg? But she's a tank. She just does it. So, you know, for me, this is the one thing, the only criticism I have going into this card. I'm not a huge fan of three championship cards. Because one, you're talking about the cream of the crop, and it's a possibility they could all go to the distance. And a lot of times, if you have a card that has 3 5-round fights and they do all go the distance, you're in for a long night. And even if two of them go the distance, it's a long night, and sometimes stuff can be lost in the fold. So I'm not a huge fan of stacking 3 championship fights amongst each other. I don't think it swings the buy rate one way or another. Oh, 2 championships? No, 3 championship fights. I almost feel like you're better off having one of these be in a few weeks on the heavyweight championship card. That's the way I look at it. I feel like you just have 2 championship fight. Like, 2 is the max. I like 2 championship fights. Cool. 3, it's kind of like that extra slice of pizza. Not, you know, not to get all cowherd on it with a weird analogy, but it's just like, you know, it could just be a little bit too much, but maybe it'll be awesome. You know, sometimes it'll turn out you'll have like a, I think it's like a UFC 205 on your hands, and they're all awesome, you know, but a lot of the times they can drag out a little bit. So we'll see. But yeah, I don't see Amanda Nunes losing. I'm not there with that. And then Jan Blachowicz versus Israel Adesanya. Interesting fight, man, because, you know, Jan is at this point where he's just got that crazy power where he could shut your lights out. And he's done that to many dangerous guys. And the other thing is, you know, he's just in this position of taking out Dominic Reyes, where it felt very similar to what Izzy's walking into. Now, we can sit here and debate, oh, you know, Dominic Reyes versus Israel Adesanya. Israel's the guy. He's the man. Like, he's not going to go out there and he's not going to fold. But first of all, but a couple things. One, he's had some very spectacular performances. Very spectacular. You know, if we're looking at it, like his Paulo Costa win, unbelievable. Robert Whittaker win, sensational. The Kelvin Gastelum was a dangerous fight. That was a dangerous fight back and forth. A fight of the year candidate, but he ended up winning. He ended up getting the job done. He ended up coming out of the W. The Yoel Romero fight, not the best fight. The Anderson Silva fight, not the best fight. So we have seen in these fights sometimes where maybe Izzy is going in there and he has the potential of getting knocked out with something big, that the fight can be a little bit ugly. It may not be the best fight in the world. But with Jan, we're just coming off the situation with people looking at Dominic Reyes as the heir apparent, that he was going to reign over the 205 division, and that this was basically just his victory lap, that he was the uncrowned king, that he should have gotten the nod against John Jones anyway, and so that he was going to walk right in there against Jan Blachowicz and become champion. And what happened? Mixed martial arts happened, and Jan Blachowicz knocked his block off. So while I favor Israel Adesanya, I'm curious what the odds are. Adesanya. Izzy is a -275 favorite. And I find that to be pretty steep. Pretty steep. I feel like it's a closer fight than that. Just simply because, one, he's moving up in weight. And yes, we've seen him at times be very dangerous, very versatile, all that type of stuff. And I do think that Izzy has huge star potential. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's charismatic. He can be funny. Sometimes he's a little bit corny. He's actually a lot more like John Jones than he realizes. It's funny. Like, you know, like the two of them, they go at each other. But sometimes Israel Adesanya says stuff and I'm just like, I don't know. All right. But he is a breathtaking fighter. I mean, he really is. Like with some of the stuff that he comes up with the precision of his striking, man, it's really, really fun to watch in the cage. But I just think that we got to be careful writing off Jan Blachowicz just because of age, just because he had his crowning achievement moment. Everybody was doing the same thing with Dominic Reyes and him, that they thought Dominic Reyes was going to waltz right in there. And it's the same thing. You think that Izzy's going to walk right in there and say, hey, I just took John's belt. I just took his division. You know, he's going to talk all this you know what to John Jones because he's walking in there as the new sheriff of the 205 division. Just be careful. You know, Jan Blachowicz is a dangerous, dangerous dude. I don't think that's a walk in the park by any means. So should be a fun one, man. I'm going to go with Adesanya. I'm going to go with Amanda Nunes. I'm not trying to be bold there. I don't even know if this is an upset. I'll check the odds real quick. But I got Sterling beating Piotr Jan. I think that, Piotr. It's a closer fight than I thought, though. I actually kind of felt like Aljo was going to get more disrespect. But he's plus 115. That's not an overwhelming underdog. Jan is minus 145. I like Aljo in that fight, man. I do. I think he's going to come through with that. And you got some other stuff. You got Dominic Cruz is on the undercard in this one. Thiago Santos is on this card. Islam Makhachev, which is on this card against Drew Dober. That's a fun fight. A lot of good action coming up next week. So we'll have the full recap for you coming on. Oh, Sean Brady. I always like watching Sean Brady. I remember him watching. I like watching guys who I saw in small promotions. I saw him at Shogun Fights. I remember watching him at the Hard Rock. I always like watching guys that I saw at small promotions fight on the big time. Joseph Benavidez is going to be fighting on this card against Oksar Oksarov. Yeah, it's a fun card. It's a really, really good card coming up next week. So definitely worth some money next week to watch a little UFC action. Everybody have a great rest of your week. If you missed any of the show, download the podcast, and we love you long time. Talk to you then.